1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 9 to 13 tonight. We're going to be looking at specifically verses 12 to 13. Thessalonians, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Well, last week we talked about how, you know, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we are in the grave or on this earth, that we are not appointed to wrath, but we are appointed to salvation through Jesus Christ who died for us. One of the things about that passage as we go back to it, the last part of verse 10 says, we should live together with Him. We live together with Him. So individually, those who are in Christ are in Christ and living with Christ. But it also is pointed out, we live together as the body of Christ with Him. And we're not just individual Christians living our own Christian life. How we live impacts us and the body of Christ. And so what Paul's getting ready to do now in verses 12 to 28 is to remind us how we are to live together in Him. If we were to read all these tonight, we'd see he has like a bunch of short little blasts saying, do this and do this and do this. And it's all as you live together in the body of Christ. And so tonight we're going to deal with just verses 12 to 13, where Paul shows us and urges us, as we'll see, to how we relate the relationship between the shepherds and the sheep. And I am here one of the shepherds. One, and I say that to remind you, we have other shepherds in this church. They're not here with us. They're at other churches, but they are serving us as shepherds. And so just to remember that. Well, verse 12 then, Paul says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So the first thing he tells us here is to know your shepherds. The relationship between you and your shepherds is a vital relationship. I once asked a man who was in a church who did not have a pastor. And it didn't seem to bother him, or he wasn't concerned about it. And I asked him, I said, so do you think that you as a Christian need shepherding or a pastor? And he said, no, I don't think I do. And I would just say, well, it's part of God's design for the church. It's part of God's gifting to the church. And so to think that we don't need shepherds is to really not be trusting in the wisdom of Christ. And so Paul tells us here to recognize them, He uses this word urge, which we're going to talk about in a minute, to put some urgency to knowing your shepherds. Now let me ask you, why is it urgent, or why is it really important to recognize and know your shepherds? What are some things you think are for both parties, the shepherds and the sheep, to build that trusting relationship? You probably, maybe all of you haven't been, but if you've been a Christian long enough, you might have had the unfortunate experience of seeing a breakdown in the relationship between shepherds and the sheep, to where that breaks down. And what that usually happens is a breakdown of trust, and then a breakdown of people responding to the shepherds properly, and that oftentimes leads to breakups of churches. And oftentimes that is because the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd has gone in the wrong direction. It could be because the shepherds are overbearing and driving the sheep with a whip, so to speak. or it could be that they are not showing enough care, or it could be because the church does not accept the role of a shepherd. A lot of people in the church these days, and not so much in our denomination because we're Presbyterian, so it kind of leads us to believe that we believe in the role of the shepherds. But in many other denominations, especially in this day and age, and I think maybe, and I haven't been in other countries, but especially in America, there is this Christian independence that it says we really don't need leaders over us, and yet this is what Paul is talking about. So any part of the body, your body or your family, that does not have a healthy relationship is going to suffer. And so we want to see that healthy relationship between sheep and shepherds. And some of these reasons are why Paul starts off with this, "We urge you, brethren." The word "urge" here is simply a request. It's not, in the language here, in the grammar, it's not a command. He's not saying, "You will recognize your shepherds." He's saying, "We urge you." This is a request, but it is a request that is normally used by somebody who has good standing. They're on good footing to make this request. And so, who is this letter written by? The Apostle Paul and his co-workers, Silvanus and Timothy, as we see in verse 1. That these guys, not only was Paul an apostle commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ, but he had been doing a lot of work with these Thessalonians. He had been discipling them and teaching them. So he had every right, you might say, or he was on good standing to make this simple request. And so he's urging them to recognize their shepherds because it is important that that good relationship be there. And it can't be overstated. And the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep can't be overstated. If you look at the imagery that's being used here, and think about a shepherd and his sheep. You know, you can see why this relationship is important. Because if the sheep are not listening to the shepherds, they open themselves up to danger and to peril, so to speak. And if the shepherds don't care for the sheep, then they make the sheep vulnerable as well. Which is a lot of what Paul was talking about in Acts chapter 20 when he was giving the elders instruction about how to care for the sheep when he was leaving. So we see here Paul is urging them because of the importance of this relationship. Now, the word "recognize" here, he says in verse 12, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you." This word "recognize" doesn't mean just to be able to know who they are. Which is kind of, it's funny because in a church, the church that I came from in Columbus, some people would ask me, who are the elders in our church? Just who are they? Not do I know them personally, but who are the elders in our church? And we had 5 or 6 elders. And what did that reveal to me? That, wow, we're not really communicating, really shepherding these people in a personal way. So, but the word "recognize" here means more than that. It means to know, to see, and perceive. To know, to see, and perceive. So you don't just recognize, oh, there's one of our elders. You know them. You know, you perceive what they are about, who they are. And I have a note here. I say, this is particularly relevant to us here at Grace Reformed Church. And I'm making that statement, but I'm asking you, why do you think I might be thinking it's particularly relevant that you know, understand, perceive who your elders are for us at Grace? Well, one of the things I think is particular about our church is the timing of our life right now. That I am a new shepherd to you all. And so, yes, it's great for me to be here as a shepherd. I'm so happy to be here. It's kind of like, if we're not careful, we could fall into this trap, this pattern of when a guy is courting a woman and they're spending time together and then they finally get married and then the situation changes. Like, oh, I got her. I can stop courting her. I can stop being specially kind to her and encouraging to her because I've accomplished the goal. I've got a spouse now. So we have to be careful that even as a church, we don't say, well, now we finally have meeting this right? We have a session. We have shepherds. So, okay, now we can back off on our pursuit of right relationships with them. So, and it is true that we are in that stage of getting to know each other. We don't know, you guys don't know me, you know, there's 25 or 30 of you trying to get to know me, but there's one of me trying to get to know 25 or 30 of you. And so I think we, because of our situation, we're called to do more diligence and be diligent about it, of getting to know each other. And even the other shepherds who are at a distance, I think it's particularly important that we not forget about them. You talk about knowing them so we can pray for them. One of the reasons we put, I think it's on our directory, the information, contact information for the shepherds who are not here, so that you can communicate with them if you need to. But we say, if you need to, well, you need to. So contacting them, even thanking them for their work that they're doing from a distance, praying for you all because they are doing that. And talking about ways to help the church and help, you know, promote the work of the church and the gospel and so forth. They're doing that. And they are your shepherds, even though they're not present. They are operating from a distance. But their information is there so you can communicate with them. It's a little harder, but it's certainly in this day and age is not impossible. Right? Notes of encouragement, thankful notes, things like that. Because, you know, your elders need that just like you all do. And so I would encourage you to do that. Now I want to ask a question. We talk about knowing, recognizing your elders. How can we get to know our shepherds? How can we accomplish this? And spending time with them, talking with them, asking about their life so you know how to pray for them. Don't be afraid to ask the shepherds, how can I pray for you? Because they do need prayer. When you're trying to get to know somebody, maybe at work or at school or a family member you don't know very well, you could find out what hobbies they have or what books they're reading, or let them show you pictures of your grandchildren and you get to know them. But this is particularly a little bit different because you're getting to know your shepherds. And so Paul gives us some ways that we are to know, and this changes the thought a little bit about getting to know them. It's not getting to know them necessarily as much as it is recognizing who they are and what their work is. So perceiving who they are. And we see this going on in verse 12 as we continue to look at that. So you are to recognize those who labor among you. So to recognize that they are laboring. This word labor means to toil to weariness. To toil to weariness. So in recognize that about them, it's also speaking to the shepherd and telling us, as shepherds, we are to work. We're not just to work a little bit. We're to work hard at what God calls us to do. And so to know your shepherds in this regard is to know that they are toiling, working for your souls. And so the shepherd who is working, following his master, Jesus Christ, is working mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and sometimes even physically, for your benefit. And so knowing that he's doing that and recognizing his labors will help you to know this man, to know the shepherds and what they're doing, and how to pray for them. You know how to pray for a shepherd because you know what he's doing, what his work is, if you never talk to him, let's say. But you know he is responsible for preaching and teaching and praying for the congregation. You know he's going to be counseling. You know he's going to be praying with hurting people and things like that. You know he's going to be carrying burdens as part of his toil and his labor. And so those are things that you can recognize, perceive, and understand what he is doing in his labor. Secondly, there is to know your shepherd as being over you in the Lord. And when we hear the words over you, because of our nature, and I think because of our Americanism, those words over you don't necessarily run good with us. But this idea over you is not as a slave master, but as someone who's leading you. Someone who is really leading you is somebody who's caring for you. And Jesus gives us instruction on this matter in Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 26. After telling the disciples how the Gentiles, with their power, lord it over the people. They use it for their own benefit. And they, when you say lord over somebody, that's a negative term. But he said, it shall not be this way among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And so the shepherd is not somebody who's over you in the sense that he is a taskmaster towards you. He is over you in servant leadership. He is over you in guiding you, not just you individually, but the church as well, the whole flock. So the shepherds are, they are over you. That's what they've been appointed to do. Not one shepherd who's over you. One shepherd is not necessarily over you. It is the session, the shepherds, the shepherds, plural, that God has appointed over the church. And that's why we are called Presbyterian, because we believe in that multiple elders who are shepherding the church, not just one man. So they are to be doing this, leading you into His Word and God's way with a shepherd's heart. With a shepherd's heart. Not cruelly, not overbearing, but kindness and tenderness, just as Jesus treated His people as well. And thirdly, we see that to know your shepherd is to know where he is to be laboring. He is to labor among you. Among you. Someone mentioned a while ago that you have to be around them. You have to be getting to know them. So the shepherd is to labor among you, to be over you, and to admonish you. And to admonish is to warn of dangers. To admonish somebody is to say, watch out. And it is to correct. And it is to exhort to right living. And this is the shepherd's work as he lives with you. It is a kind of a thin line to walk for a shepherd. Because, you know, a shepherd wants to be your friend. I do want to be part of your friend network. But that's not my biggest calling. My biggest calling is to be these things that Paul is talking about. And so the shepherd, he wants to be friendly. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your trusted friend. But he also has times where he has to do some hard things, like the admonishing and so forth. And the shepherd has to do this, even if it means he may not be your friend after that. This admonishing, this correcting, this warning. Because not everybody takes it the right way. Even if the shepherd is doing everything he can to do it the right way, we don't always like being corrected. And our sinful nature can rise up and say, I'm not going to take that. And so this laboring and this being over you and admonishing you is the things that you need to recognize and know about your shepherd. You can know his family. You can know my family back home or some of the other shepherds. And that's good, and that allows you to get to know me as a person, and that's all well. But the more important things are that you know what I'm called to do in your life. And not because I think I'm here to control your life. It's not that at all. It is what God has appointed us to do for your benefit, for your sake. And so knowing that it comes from Christ, that we ought to see the wisdom in that and see that this ministry that God has given to the shepherds is not for the shepherds. It is for the flock, for the sheep. And that you benefit from that in knowing your shepherds and recognizing them. And knowing what their labor is all about. And this is what Paul meant in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, saying, so affectionately longing for you, we were pleased to impart to you not only the gospel, but our whole lives. And so recognize that the shepherd is to be not only preaching and teaching the gospel, but also imparting his life to you and ministering to you in that way. The second part of this passage is the relationship in that how you respond to the labor of the shepherds. So first recognize who they are and what they do. Know them that way. And then how do you respond to that ministry? Now ask this question, and we've talked about it just briefly a couple times. Did you notice where the labor of the shepherds is to be? Look in verse 12. Where is the shepherd to be laboring? Among you. That's exactly right. And so who is the who among you? Who is the who? Who's he talking about among you?
You,
the body, right? The shepherd is to labor among the body. Now that means more, not that we belittle this at all, but more than just preaching and teaching. Because that's just really one-way communication. I'm speaking to you all. But the among you part means there is a personal part of it. There is a relationship part where not only do I preach and teach to you all, but we talk about those things that I preach and teach. And we find out, you know, where are we struggling with these kind of things? And where do you need to be prayed for as a result of hearing God's word, you know, being preached and taught? And so you, as much as the shepherds want to be among you, what do you have to do in this regard? You have to let us be among you. You have to let us in to your life. And that's where the trust really comes into. If you don't trust your shepherds, it's not likely that you're going to seek their counsel. It's not likely that you're going to seek their help. And so there is a trust relationship here that has to happen in order for the shepherd to minister among you. The shepherd can't pray for you. He can't counsel you if you're keeping a wall up all the time. And I think that's part of what Sandy's talking about. To treat us, we are people. We are people with this role. But don't be afraid of us. You know, allow us into your life as much as you can learn to trust us. And that does take time. But you have to let the shepherds in among you in order to shepherd you. I was reading a guy, book Christian Ministry. I can't remember his name now, but he talked about, I think I was talking with maybe Brian about this, maybe somebody else, but he made his goal to visit every family twice in the year to do those very things. And it was taking him on a Monday and Tuesday, so it must have a big church, 6 visits a day every Monday and Tuesday that he was doing that. And he writes about how that eventually wore him down to a frazzle. And so he had to modify how he did that, but he still accomplished his goal. But to speak to that, I think there's a lack of elders doing that. But I think elders are apprehensive about it because in our culture, going in and visiting a family and doing that is a foreign thing in the first place. And a lot of families aren't prepared for that or not sure they want you doing that because there isn't that relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. And so that is a necessary thing that needs to be done. And I'm glad Noah brought it out because even in our small congregation, that's something that I will need to be doing with you all. Some of you have already done it. Some have already made visits. But it is more than just getting to know about one another. The shepherd's role is to know whether or not you are following the Lord, you are in the Word of the Lord, and how is it going? How are things going with the family? How are things going with the children? How are things going in your personal life? Things like that. You know, he's not asking for, you know, deep personal information, but how is your walk with the Lord? And those are the kind of things that the shepherd should be concerned about. So, he has to be among you. He has to be among you. And this means everyone. I had a lady in our church a couple years ago come to me and say, and she was a friend of mine, and she said, I really value our friendship. She said, what I miss is that I see men being men, being friends with men, and women being friends with women, but there is not this sense that a woman could be a friend of a man. And obviously, there has to be caretaking there. But it doesn't mean that, you know, men and women cannot be friends. There is decorum that has to be honored and caretaking care there, but it can still happen, and especially with shepherds. Children need to know they have a shepherd appointed by God. They have shepherds. Wives need to know that. Young women need to know that. Young men need to know that. The shepherd is not just the man's shepherd. He's just not the shepherd of only the men in the church. And so, I just want you all to know that. All of you. This is the who. Each and every one of you in the flock. And so, it doesn't mean that there aren't proper channels to work through things and care taken for people's testimony and so forth. And there are proper protections that can go in place for times in that. But it's okay for a young person to come to the shepherd and say, could I talk to you about this? And maybe you do need to go to your parents first and say, could I go talk to the pastor or one of the shepherds about this? And they could help you with that. But you need not to be thinking that the shepherd is only for the adults. He's not. He's not only for the men. He's not only for the women. He's for the whole body of Christ. And so I say that to all of you to try and encourage you to let the shepherds labor among you. And that is to trust in Christ's wisdom when you do that. It is to say, I'm believing what Christ put in place is going to be beneficial to His body. Also, you are to esteem them very highly in love, as we see in verse 13. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. To esteem them is to think of them highly. Now, the word actually means chief or leader. Here I am, one of the shepherds, telling you to think of me highly. I'm not telling you that as a personal thing, but it's connected to the work's sake. And so, used in this way, it means to have them highly in your mind. It's not to think of them that they're better than others, but to think of them highly in your mind because of their labors. The type of work that they do for the body of Christ, we are to hold them in high regard. Paul says to do this in love for their work's sake. And this carries the idea that you do this for the purpose of the work they're doing, which is for the body. And so when you hold them in high regard, it is for the sake of the body that you're doing that, for the sake of the work that the shepherd is called to do, that you are esteeming them highly in love. Because what do you want for the? What do you want for your body? You want your body to work well. You want your body to be healthy. You go to the doctor when you're sick, and you pray when you're sick, and because you want your body to function as God has designed it. And so we want to do that as well in the body of Christ. And part of that is esteeming highly the elders, the shepherds, because of the work they do. To think of them in high regard. Because if you think of them in high regard, then you're going to respond to them, and according to the work that they're called to do, you're more likely to respond in a way that's beneficial for the body of Christ as they're preaching, teaching, and counseling and so forth. So thinking of them highly is a benefit to the success of the whole church. And then we have the last part of verse 13, which talks about, which just says, be at peace among yourselves. If it wasn't for the verse numbers, I think we could think that, oh, Paul is talking about something else here now. He's jumping into a new category. But I want to propose to you that this is still connected to how you relate to your shepherds. Because when the church is not at peace amongst itself, it is a great burden to the shepherds. And that can be a big distraction to the ministry that should be going on when there's not peace amongst yourself. So whatever you want to call it, backbiting or infighting, causes disturbance in the peace of the church. And then that means the elders, the shepherds, have to go and deal with that, which is what they're called to do. That's fine in that regard. But if it's unnecessary disturbances in the church cause a lack of peace, that is a distraction to the whole ministry of the shepherds. So he says, be at peace amongst yourself. Some people think that every issue is worth dying for, worth going to the wall, as they say, and taking their last stand on every issue. And it's not. It's really not. I was talking to a guy, I don't know, it's also been a couple of years ago, who left one church, went to a couple other churches, and then came back around and came back to that same church. And I asked him how did that work, how that, you know. And he said, I began to realize that not every issue is worth disturbing the peace of the church. And I thought, now you're getting it. You are to be at peace amongst yourself. Paul tells us in Romans 12:8, if it is possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So to do this is to say to your shepherds that I value the ministry that God has given you amongst the body, that I'm going to do all I can to be at peace amongst the church, with everyone in the church, especially all men, Scripture says, but especially in the church. You know, with all you have, as much as is possible, that's a lot. With as much as is possible within you, be at peace. So we'd ask ourselves the question, what then is necessary to be at peace amongst the body? What's necessary for that? Being you, which is also in Christ, putting others above yourself. That's what it takes to have peace in the church. To have a mindset of Christ, that others are more important. Because usually the little things that tend to grow up and be big, and these little spats in the church and backbiting or infighting, they're usually not worth it. I mean, I would say they're always not worth it, but when we say, okay, is this something we can ask ourselves, is this trouble that's going on? Am I part of it? And is it something that is worth disturbing the peace of the church for? The peace of the church is a highly valued thing. We need to value the peace of the church. Now, sometimes it cannot be avoided. If somebody is scripturally doing things unscriptural and have to be dealt with, and if that causes, you know, a lack of peace, then we are called to address those kind of things. But so often it's not those kind of things. It might be a disagreement between somebody, or a word said or misinterpreted by somebody, but then that creates an offense. And we're not to be easily offended, to not be easily provoked to wrath. So just valuing the peace of the church is an effort to esteem the work of the shepherd. So if I value the peace of the church and I think of others more important than myself, like Christ did, then I'm going to be promoting peace amongst ourselves. And, you know, sometimes the lack of peace in a church can consume the work of a session. And it can discourage a session, and it can discourage people in the church, obviously, as well. And so to keep that in our minds about how do I honor the shepherds, how do I esteem them, one way is to promote the peace of the church, that they can do their work without that kind of thing having to deal with it. So love your shepherds by being at peace amongst yourself. So we'll conclude with this thought. Living together in the household of God with your shepherds is to be a blessing to you individually and to the church. But we do live together with Christ, but with each other. And so our relationship between sheep and shepherds is an important one to care for and to foster and to see blessed by the Lord. So we can be praying about that as well tonight, that we would have that. Know your shepherds, recognize them, know what role they have in your life, and then respond the way God calls us to. Okay? All right, let's go to a time of prayer then.